You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Man, look, I hope everybody's had a great week. It's been a busy week, but a productive week. And look, most importantly, y'all, football is in the air. I am extremely excited to talk about what we have to talk about today, because again, NFL training camp has officially begun. Everybody has reported. We got the Hall of Fame game that's coming up next week. Again, football is in the air, man. I couldn't be more excited. We had obviously college football, SEC media days, Big Ten media days. All of the conferences have their media days. So again, man, this is the time of the year that all football fans love. And so close, we could touch it. And I couldn't be more excited, man, to dive into that. But again, before we talk about that, man, I hope, again, everybody's had a great week. Look, man, I don't know if y'all have seen The Odyssey, man. Again, off topic, but I gotta talk about this, man. The Odyssey is one of the best movies I've ever seen. If you have not seen The Odyssey, please go see that. Shout out to my ninth grade teacher, Miss Sims. She's been married since then, so her last name is different, but we still know her as Miss Sims, man. She is the reason why I know, or we know anything about The Odyssey. She actually had us read the entire book, which is actually a poem. So the entire book is actually a long poem by Homer. And I can remember being in ninth grade reading that book, man, and it just captured my attention. Odysseus and just all of the different characters in it, and the journey he had to go through to get back to Ithaca. It's just it's crazy, man. And to see it be displayed on the big screen, man. Shout out to Christopher Nolan, director, one of the GOATs, man. Just doesn't miss. He doesn't miss at all. So, I mean, it's a long movie. I mean, it's one of those like Lord of the Rings long type of movies. If you've seen Lord of the Rings, you know what I'm talking about. 3 hours. And look, it's worth it. I actually have to go see that again. But again, man, I was extremely excited to see it. It did not let me down. Exceeded expectations. Obviously expected it to be a really good movie, but it even exceeded it. Going to see the movie. The cast was great. Just a great movie all around. And then, look, guess what else we got? Spider-Man, Brand New Day, dropped. Actually officially came out today. I think in some theaters you can see him on Thursday. I know around over here by me, sometimes you can see, majority of the time you can see movies on Thursday night before they officially drop on Friday. But Brand New Day is officially here. Look, I got my Spider-Man AirPod case. If you all have never seen this, I don't think I've ever showed this on the show, but show y'all how official I am. I got my AirPod case. I also got a Spider-Man shirt in the back in my closet. I didn't bring that out because I'm saving that for when we go see the movie tomorrow. I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. I've been a Spider-Man fan literally since I was a kid, so I couldn't be more excited to see this. Tom Holland, Zendaya, just excited to see them on the screen again. They have done an exceptional job with the Spider-Man series. And I like the new and revamped version of the series that they've done, just to make, you know, again, shout out to any, you know, obviously like the, OGs, who played, Spider-Man. This one is probably it's my favorite. Spider-Man, because it just reminds you more of like the game, you know, just being a kid, making jokes, how fun it was. So yeah, man, definitely excited to see that. But with that being said, man, let's talk about some sports, man. I want to first start off in the NBA again. Not really gonna spend a lot of time on NBA talk because we're pushing that out the way, to be honest with you, because The NFL, college football is right around the corner. But I have to talk about this topic because LeBron James has finally, after taking his sweet precious time, he has made a decision on where he is going to be playing next season. And that is with the Philadelphia 76ers. This is not news. Obviously, I know this was announced already, but I didn't have an opportunity to talk about it last week. So I want to talk about it briefly today. Again, LeBron said that, you know, he put out this statement saying that he considered retirement. And before he made this decision, you know, wants to make this his final, his last decision. This is pretty much his final run with a team. So he's not going to be, you know, making any big decisions and all this going forward. Again, he's 41 years old. He did sign a 2-year, $8 million contract with the player option. So this was communicated by Rich Paul, his agent. And James, you know, LeBron, he actually nearly made, what, $53 million with the Lakers last season. So obviously taking a pay cut to be with the Philadelphia 76ers. Again, he did mention that he thought that he was done playing. He loves the game, obviously, and he feels that he has more to give. And he's hoping to break a 43-year-old championship drought that the 76ers have, pretty much the same way he kind of erased the 52-year streak that the Cavaliers had when he won a championship with them in 2016. So there you have it. LeBron is taking his talents to now to Philadelphia. Here's what I have to say about this, man. And I know there's, you know, a lot of people, obviously, like, it's an insane move. And, you know, you're going over with Jaylen Brown and VJ Edgecombe and Joel Embiid and Maxey as well, and a lot of other depth pieces. You know, obviously it's crazy looking at that roster on paper. But honestly, looking at this move, this is a weak move. Obviously, LeBron, again, teaming up with the Stack team. Call it what you want. I mean, he's constantly trying to make these super teams to win championships. And people, I've even heard people come out and say, like, oh, you know, this isn't to chase rings and da-da. It's 100% to chase rings. I mean, he's not going to go anywhere where he's not going to try to chase a ring. There were teams that came, you know, up Miami, him going back to Miami or finishing his career in Cleveland, which I thought he probably would have done. 76ers weren't even a team that I even thought about. The Golden State Warriors were a team that came up as well, and maybe like one or two other teams. But they made it kind of seem like it was narrowed down to two options between the Cavs and Miami, and then ultimately, again, the Sixers came out of nowhere. But again, I just think that this is just of course, you're going to want to pair up with superstars. Of course, you're going to want to have a stacked team. People are already penciling them into the NBA Finals, which let's take a step back and let's pause. First and foremost, let's relax. I think that, of course, any team could look good on paper, but they still have to get on the court first. So if they haven't gotten on the court, it does not matter. And if you ask my opinion, the Sixers this year, they're going to look really, really good for the 35 games that they're going to play together. I'll give them between 30 to 35 games that they will play together actually healthy. I say that because why? Joel Embiid hurt every single year. He may be healthy now, but he gets injured. Jaylen Brown, you don't kind of know, you know, with him, what that's going to look like. LeBron, obviously playing on kind of limited minutes, you know, the load management situation. He's 41. Obviously, you know, some, you know, kind of tweaks and injury bugs could creep up on him where he sits out. And the notion that this team could just sit out the entire year and there's nothing that they have to do, and they could just pick up full steam ahead and go right into the Eastern Conference Finals and Championship, that's crazy. That That's a crazy, crazy statement that anybody can make. I don't care who you are. I don't personally agree with it. I don't care how stacked you are. You could be the Monstars from Space Jam. It doesn't matter unless you play together at the end of the day. And, you know, this is just funny to me because, you know, you look at LeBron, and again, look, respect to, you know, Bron and what he's done to the game. And, you know, I don't hate anybody, but I just, when you look at it, it's just, it makes me laugh because I just remember him when he went from Cleveland to Miami, and he just made these statement about how many championships he was going to win in Miami. And, you know, if you don't remember, let me just jog your memory real quick for those who may not remember.
You three kings came down here to win championships, not one, championships.
Not two.
LeBron, tell us about that.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven.
So he says, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven. Was he talking about the championships, or was he talking about how many teams he was going to be on? Because, I mean, this guy has really become a journeyman, if you ask me. I mean, you got Cleveland, you got Miami, you got the Lakers, you got Cleveland again, and you got the Sixers. I mean, obviously, like, the order, I'm just throwing out the teams that he was a part of. But are we being for real? He's a journeyman. And again, he definitely wasn't talking about five, six, and seven championships, because he's not going to get that. This is a ring chase. You could go on as many stacked teams as you want to, Brian. You're not going to catch Jordan. You won't have six rings. You can have all the points. You're stat padding at this point in your career. I don't care what nobody says. Look, it is what it is. And look, allow me to look again. I don't care how stacked this team is, or any team that he goes on to. Allow me to be the bearer of bad news. This 76ers team is not a team that has a star in Joel Embiid that stays healthy. You need Joel Embiid to be able to win a championship. And I just don't personally feel like Embiid has shown that he's going to stay healthy consistently throughout the season. He told Bron, oh, I'm healthy. And apparently that was the deciding factor in Bron making his decision to come to Philadelphia. Whatever. And allow me to end this segment, because I don't need to say anything about this. But allow me to end this segment by playing something from the GOAT. And I'm not talking about Bron in relation to this situation.
About Drake, y'all forgot where I'm from. Y'all forgot if I gave you a hand, you under the thumb. Convenient amnesia from all you ballerinas. It doesn't alter what you said or how it made us see you. I shouldn't even be shocked to see you in that arena, because you always made your career off of switching teams up.
I shouldn't be shocked to see you in that arena because you always made your career off of switching teams up. Again, GOAT Drake said it the best. Look, he called it, man. Again, and right after this, of course, Bron jumps to another team. So, look, I'm going to leave it at that. I didn't say it. GOAT Drake said it, but I'm going to second that motion there. But anyway, moving on, man. Bron, get up out of here. Anyway, let's talk about NFL training camp, because NFL training camp, again, it is officially here. We have heading into this year, we have some interesting quarterback competitions, I would say, and there's three of them that I wanted to specifically talk about. And that is between, we have the Falcons with a quarterback competition. You have the Browns. You also have the Minnesota Vikings. I know that they mentioned the Raiders have being in a quarterback competition. That's not a quarterback competition. I don't think, again, Mendoza is not going to be the QB1 heading into the season. Obviously, their goal is to sit him and allow him to learn and grow. So, again, that's not a quarterback competition there. But wanted to take a look at the Falcons, because the quarterback competition between Michael Penix Jr. and Tua, I personally, you know, think that this, in my opinion, is not much of a competition. I think it's just really, at this point, is going to be they label it as a competition, but I think it's just really last man standing on who's going to be healthy at the end of training camp. Reason why I say that is because both of them are dealing with injuries right now. Penix, you know, obviously he was the eighth pick in the 2024 draft. And again, he came into the league dealing with injuries. His injury history that he had in college, obviously, you know, he stayed healthy when he was in Washington. But he has had, you know, some history of injuries in his career. Now, last, in 2024, he did take over for Kirk Cousins in the season because he was struggling, which was 2024 was his rookie season. So he actually ended up starting the final three games of that season. Then he opened 2025 as the starter. And then he only played nine games and then he tore his ACL in November. So again, this is actually, you know, believe it or not, this is the third time that Penix has suffered a torn ACL. As I mentioned before, he's made, 12 career starts in NFL. The Falcons, they've won four of the 12 that he started. He's completed 59% of his passes, with 59.6%, so just under 60% to be exact. And he's thrown for a little over 2,700 yards and 12 touchdowns with six interceptions. And he also has two rushing touchdowns. Now, on the other side of things, Tua, obviously, he was the number five pick in the 2020 draft. He has a 44-32 record in his career, 68% career completion percentage, and he's thrown 120 touchdowns and 59 interceptions. But again, you look at, you know, Tua, he's struggled with injuries throughout his career. Right now, he's sidelined with a flare-up of, again, an injury that was undisclosed. I personally think that when it comes to this competition, I mean, it's going to be Tua. Penix is not ready, obviously. I mean, he has a – Penix, don't get me wrong, he has an arm. I mean, he is a gunslinger. You know, we've seen it in college. He can really throw the ball. I mean, you've seen it sometimes in the NFL, but – I just think that, you know, looking at his injury history coming into the league, I mean, Tua obviously has had his injury history, especially with the concussions. I just think it's going to be Tua at the end of the day. They're going to ride with the vet. But again, it could very well be last man standing on who's healthy. The Falcons have gone out and signed with Cooper Rush, and there was another quarterback I've never even heard his name. that they signed just to have depth in the event that Tua doesn't, you know, isn't ready, or if there's an injury that comes up there. But again, and then on the other, you know, thing to add too is the Falcons are also dealing with Bijan Robinson not practicing right now because he's sitting out hoping to get a new deal. So again, look, Dirty Bird fans. I mean, I don't know what's going on, man, but y'all, you know, y'all got to get it together. You look, somebody needs to go drive up the Flowery Branch and talk to somebody. You better talk to Bijan, man. I know that's the face of y'all franchise. Y'all need Bijan Robinson, you know, because I'm telling you right now, you know, you better pay that man. Y'all fans, y'all better get on. I don't know what road it is, but get up there to Flowery Branch, man. Put some gas in the cars and head out there today. Head out there tomorrow. Whatever you got to do, camp out. You know, make sure you get your boy paid, because Tua, Michael Penix, whoever is back there, it could be Arthur Blank himself playing quarterback. You're going to need a running game. So I'll tell you right now, you better pay that man. But again, that's the quarterback competition. I think Tua ultimately is going to be the guy. Moving on, man, let's talk about the Cleveland Browns, their competition there between Shedeur Sanders and Deshaun Watson. I feel like those are the two guys. You can say Dillon Gabriel all you want to. Dillon Gabriel is not Shedeur Sanders. I'm sorry. He came in, he had his little flashes, but, you know, Dillon Gabriel is not Shedeur. It is what it is. You think about, you know, kind of when Sanders came in last year, he showed flashes. Obviously, he struggled, and the Browns didn't necessarily put him in a good position at all. But, you know, is that surprising? Because who have the Browns put in a good position at quarterback? You know, people, you know, the Browns, you know, they've had their squads. I think defensively they've had some really good defensive teams and guys like that. But offensively, you know, they have had their ups and downs, and more downs than ups, I would say. Looking at Shador, again, they gave him the ability to be the starter for the last, they named him the starter for the last, it was the 7 games of the season. They did go 3-4 in those 7 starts. Sanders did complete 120 of 212 of his passes for 1,400 yards and 7 touchdowns, but he had 10 interceptions. So again, rookie, look, you can say what you want about the interceptions. Peyton Manning had, what, like 16 or 18 of them or something crazy like that. And again, that number may not be accurate, but I know he had more than 10 interceptions in his rookie year. So it is what it is there. But then you got Deshaun Watson. Again, Deshaun Watson, he has not played in a long time. I mean, he led the league. Let's kind of just take a trip back down the memory lane for Deshaun Watson. You know, he led the league in passing yards in 2020 for the Texans, set out the 2021 season because he didn't want to play for them anymore. Then he got traded in 2022 to the Browns for literally like a haul of picks. He signed a fully guaranteed 5-year, $230 million contract, but he was suspended for the first 11 games of 2022 because of sexual misconduct during massage therapy sessions, which was, you know, totally ridiculous on his part. But again, paid the price for that, as he should have, and many of which, you know, thought he should have actually been held, you know, to more a longer suspension than that. So a lot of people thought the penalty should have been more. But he did come back. He played the final 6 games of that season. Then he missed 11 games due to an injury in 2023. 10 more games he missed in 2024. And the injury that ended his 2024 season was the tear to his right Achilles. And then he tore that tendon again during his rehab in the offseason, which caused him to miss the entire 2025 season as a result. So, insane to think about, right, after somebody who signed 5-year, $230 million contract, and again, it's fully guaranteed. So the Browns are in cap hell right now. So again, he was guaranteed $46 million this season, which he's guaranteed $46 million, and he's actually healthy. So, you know, right now they didn't name him a starter, but I think that they're going to give him more of the reps at the one. And they have to, because they backed themselves in a corner. They threw in the bag. He hasn't been available. They've been screwed up since then. And so they have no choice but to play a Deshaun Watson, who has not played a full season, since 2020? Yeah. He's literally have not played a full season in 6 years. So there you have it there. I think that, you know, they're going to give Deshaun Watson a nod. I think he's going to win the competition, but it's not because I think that he's more skilled at this point in his career than Shador. I think it's because they owe him all that money, and why they have no other choice but to play him. And that's what happens when you throw the bag. My Bears, we dealt with it too. You know, we gave Jay Cutler, all that money. It was like a 5-year deal. You had no choice but to ride it out. And that's what the Browns have to do. But do I think that Shador is going to get an opportunity to play at some point this year? 100%. You got to put him out there, give him, you know, see what he could give you. Because ultimately, I think that you put Deshaun Watson out there, I don't think that he's going to – it's not going to last that long. Yeah, he is healthy and stuff like that, but he's been away from football in live contact for a very long time. So I don't imagine him – being as crisp as they want him to be, but they'll probably ride it out as long as they can and see what they got. But ultimately, I think Shador is going to take over at some point in the season. And then last but finally, we have the Minnesota Vikings, their quarterback competition between J.J. McCarthy and Kyler Murray. Is this really a quarterback competition? They label it that. I'm not even really going to label it a competition myself. I'm not even going to spend a whole lot of time on this. I think that Kyler Murray is going to be the starter. Excuse me. I think that, and you look at J.J. McCarthy, he was the 10th pick in 2024. The Vikings, they traded up for him, obviously. Wanted to take a chance, which I was surprised they took J.J. McCarthy. I'm like, what are they seeing J.J. McCarthy? Again, I know he won in college and things like that, but he was not that great of a passer. I mean, he really was not an impressive passer like that. So, but McCarthy, he suffered a season-ending injury in camp, early in camp that year. Sam Darnold ended up leading the way. Obviously, he was the starting quarterback at the time. 14 games that the Vikings won that year. And then, of course, they made the stupid decision of not re-signing Sam Darnold, and they allowed him to walk. And now we saw what he was able to do with the Seattle Seahawks winning the Super Bowl literally right after that. So, again, they named him J.J. McCarthy the starter for 2025. But, again, that didn't go well because he did miss 7 games. He had numerous injuries. The 10 games that he did play, let's look at the stats there. He completed 140 of 243 passes for 1,632 yards and 11 touchdowns with 12 interceptions. Awful. You know, I mean, it's that's obviously not what they want. He also fumbled it 6 times. He took 27 sacks. Justin Jefferson had the worst season of his career. He only caught 84 passes for 1,048 yards, so he just barely hit 1,000 yards as a receiver, and he only had 2 touchdowns. So, yeah, they were on the verge of Justin Jefferson was on the verge of asking for a trade. I mean, they were in a situation where it was like, look, if you don't get me somebody, you know, Justin Jefferson, he was going to ask for a trade, 100%. Believe me. But then since then, they brought in, again, Kyler Murray in free agency. He was the number one pick in 2019. He was released by the Cardinals. But now he's has a new home here in Minnesota. And again, I think that his arm talent and his ability to escape the pocket and create stress and strain on defenses, that's going to, there's a no-brainer there. They call this a competition. Stop playing. It's not a competition. Kyler Murray is going to win that. So that's all I have to say about that. Again, didn't really want to spend too much time, but I wanted to highlight some of the important kind of competitions at the quarterback position that we're looking at in training camp. All right. So before we go on to our next topic, you are listening to the Lace Up Sports Talk podcast right here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audio Boom. And of course, you are watching it here on YouTube. Do me a favor and please, whatever medium you're using to watch or listen to the show on, please hit that subscribe button so that you can be notified when I go live. When I post a new show, you'll be notified instantly. And please feel free to leave a comment in the comment section. Let me know how I'm doing. Give me your thoughts. Give me your opinions. Anything you want me to talk about, throw that in the comment section as well. Would love to get any topics that you all would love to be discussed, included in future shows. But again, I appreciate all the love and support. Everybody continue to rock with me the way that y'all do. So I feel the love and I appreciate the love. All right. With that being said, let's jump back into it because I want to focus on my guys. And when I say my guys, my boys, the Chicago Bears, this is all the hype coming into this season after going from worst to first in the NFC North, winning the division last year and making a run to the divisional round in the NFC playoffs. A lot of high expectations coming into this year for my Chicago Bears. Ben Caleb, they're heading into year 2. And Caleb is looking to take that next step. We saw what he was able to do in just year one with Ben Johnson, but he is looking to take that extra leap, which I think he will do this year. Look, I don't know if you can tell. I mean, I'm in all orange right now. For those of you who are watching the show, look, I got my Bears hat. I got my Bears shirt. Let me move the mic out the way. Y'all can see my Bears shirt. Look, I got Bears tumblers. I got Bears you know what this is, a holder. Look, I'm hyped, man. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Look, if I didn't have to work, look, I would be in Lake Forest, Illinois at every day of training camp if I could be there. Look, that's how hype I am, man. Look, I got the Bears tattoo on my arm. I might get a whole bear tatted on my chest before the season. It's no telling what could happen, man. Look, I'm telling y'all right now, I have not been more excited about this season than I am right now. I was really excited about what it was going to look like heading into last year, but I'm even more excited seeing what we were able to do heading into this year and the heights that this team could reach. Now let's just take a look at training camp, because now I gotta calm down, take a breather, because I got my heart rate up, and you look, I'm 34, so I gotta watch that. I'm just playing, but let's take a look at training camp notes. Let's look at how the team has done so far. Again, training camp kicked off this week on Wednesday, but what I wanted to focus on, because Wednesday was more of a lighter day, day one. I want to talk about day two and also from yesterday, and also notes from today's training camp from day three. So day two notes. Look, Caleb Williams also he looks very sharp at practice. He looked really great. His day was just full of spreading the ball around to a lot of receivers. Luther Burden, Roma Dunze, Jahdae Walker, Khalif Raymond, Xavier Thomas, the rookie, you know, spread the ball around really well. And some other practice observations. This comes from Courtney Cronin. She covers the Chicago Bears each and every year. So just want to take some notes on her observations. She had, you know, obviously Xavier Thomas, he was getting some work in first team, second team, and third team, and he's also was getting some reps in on kickoff return and punt return. Khalif Raymond, he had a really good catch on the deep ball in the 11-11 drills. It was like 52 yards. Pass was thrown from Caleb. From the nickel position, Cam Lewis actually got some reps with the ones. For those of you who don't know, my Bears fans out there, Kyler Gordon. Man, don't get me started on Kyler Gordon, because I'm extremely disappointed that this guy cannot come into a training camp healthy. He is coming into this year again on the PUP list because of a calf injury, which is crazy to me because he stayed there all in the offseason, you know, getting work in. So the fact that he cannot start a season healthy and sustain health is mind-boggling to me. It's frustrating. It's almost like he's made out of paper mache. I don't know what it is. They have the NFL has access to some of the best doctors in the world. Why you can't get healthy, I don't understand. But that's a conversation for another day. We have to move on. Cam Lewis, guy we brought in from Buffalo, he has actually gotten some reps with the nickels in with the ones. Got nickel reps with the ones, excuse me. So that was something to highlight there. Jedrick Wills Jr., that's my dog from Alabama, left tackle. He actually got some reps in with the twos. He's been in the league for a while now. But again, they got to get some bodies in there to kind of rotate from the left tackle position because of the injury to Ozzie Trupolo in the playoff game last year. So getting him rotated in there. Kyle Manungai was not out there at practice yesterday, so that was something to kind of take note of. I don't think it's anything serious there. Other observations, Kobe Bryant, safety we brought in from Seattle, he was all over the field. He actually batted down a pass in 11-11, which is going to be good because him, you know, he's going to be a key component, a key piece back there with our rookie safety, Dylan Thienemann. Both guys, I think, are going to mesh really well. They both show the ability to track the ball, high point the ball, and they have some good speed and anticipation in their game. So I'm excited to see those guys together on the field. And other observations, we have Braxton Jones. He was getting some reps with the ones at left tackle. He is back healthy. And then you also had Garrett Bradbury, a center we brought over from the New England Patriots. He is taking some reps at center. He's replacing Drew Dahlman, as we all know, who retired after last season. So those were some notes after day one. Roman Dunze actually came out. Again, he had a foot injury that he was dealing with last year that lingered throughout the season. And he mentioned a new normal that he was dealing with. And he had to make some clarification about that, because people, you know, heard him mention he had to deal with a new normal and automatically made the conclusion, the assumption that he wasn't healthy and that his foot was still hurting. But he did debunk that rumor. He said, look, my foot feels great. And it feels amazing. You see that in the tape, and even in the clips that I've watched from practice. He's running. I mean, it's almost like they put some new feet on him. I mean, he looks like he's running crisp. I mean, he's getting in and out of his breaks. He looks like the Rome, you know, that he was when he came in. So that's a great thing, because, you know, definitely going to need him for this season, right? And most importantly, Rome, catch the ball. Make sure you limit those drops, because he did have drop issues last year. But I think a lot of that was, you know, I mean, he was dropping the ball, but I also think some of that, too, with his foot injury, that kind of impacted things as well. So those were notes from day two, again, yesterday. Let's look at day three, because, look, the offense looked really well, but is there going to be some continuity each day? So what we're looking for is that continuity each practice. So day three notes. Got a good bit of notes from Courtney Cronin on this one. So I just wanted to read this for you guys. Again, they went a full 2 hours today. Ended with a 2-minute drill. Caleb had a really nice connection with Colston Loveland and Roma Dunze today. They both shined. There were back-to-back deep ball receptions in the first 11 on 11. Dunze caught one where he kind of like bobbled it, pulled it in. And Williams, he actually threw his first interception today in 7-on-7. That interception came by Jalen Johnson. Great. And that's good. You know, look, we want this to be a back and forth. That's what you want in training camp. So glad that the first interception came from Jalen Johnson. And the reason why I'm saying that is because Jalen Johnson dealt with some a groin injury last year that lingered throughout the season. Well, actually before the season. So he sat out, actually came back in what, like week two, re-aggravated it, had to sit all the way out, and then it came back later in the season. He just was not himself, couldn't keep up with receivers, and obviously that showed in the wild card game, as well as really before the wild card even started. We saw him kind of lingering around and trying to keep up. It seemed like he was like a step or two behind every time, so he wasn't playing that sticky coverage as he's used to playing. Again, Jalen Johnson got that interception. The defense actually did have the upper hand today in the first red zone period. One thing I wanted to highlight about that is not only did they have the upper hand, Austin Booker and Montez Sweat, they had back-to-back sacks. Austin Booker is a guy who, you know, he's coming into this year three. We're expecting big things out of Austin Booker because, again, our pass rush has been non-existent last year, the year before that, and the year before that. We need a pass rush from this defense. We cannot have a repeat of what happened last year, where they were just, again, not getting pressure on the quarterback consistently. The DBs are getting gashed in coverage because they can't keep up with the receivers. You would see these big gaping holes, and teams would move the ball down the field, but then we would get a turnover, you know, interception, forced fumble, which is great to be able to get the ball, but we want some consistency. We actually want to get stops. Have these teams punt the ball to us. Get the ball back in our offense's hands not on our side of the field, but on the opponent's side of the field. Don't wait till they get down to the inside the 10 and we get a turnover. Turnovers are great, and I'm not complaining about that. But, again, we want some production from the defensive end. Help Montez Sweat out. So, again, those back-to-back sacks, that's huge. And I think Austin Booker has the ability and the capability to be able to take a leap and be that guy that we are looking to fill that void. I think that, you know, looking at his tape coming out of Kansas, you know, he shows some real good flashes. He gets out of his break, you know, off the ball and fires off the ball really, really, really well. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do. Loveland, you know, finished the drill off even after the back-to-back sacks. He finished the drill off with a touchdown. Again, they had a to the end of practice, it was a two-minute situation, like a minute and a half on the clock. The score was 10-10, tied up. Caleb Williams actually delivered a 14-yard touchdown pass to Colston Loveland to end the practice. Again, Kyle Manungai was not out there again today. So, you know, again, that's something to watch. I don't think it's anything too serious, but something to keep an eye on. So we will continue to monitor that. Again, I don't think it's nothing too serious or anything like that. They didn't mention any injuries. He could have, you know, needed a personal days or something like that. But again, that is why I'm excited about Chicago Bears football. You see it in the notes, in the observations from the practice. I'm excited. You know, Ben Johnson is excited. Looking forward to the speed that we brought into this team and how that's going to look and translate onto the field. And one last thing, you know, I wanted to mention before we move on. Ben Johnson, he actually was ranked the third best offensive play caller by in the NFL by defensive coaches around the league. One of the quotes, and I'll read this, it says, one defensive coordinator said that he struggled all week trying to figure out Johnson's tendencies, something that he says he could normally do for other offensive coordinators. They said that, look, he anticipates what your counterpunch might be or what your complement to something might be and then exploits that schematically. Then once he kind of gets you into the next step, he already has answers for that. Again, that was from coaches around the league, defensive coaches. So you can't tell me that you can read something like that and not be excited as a Bears fan. Again, I am ecstatic. Can't wait to see my guys when they come down here to Atlanta to face off against the Falcons. But again, man, excited about this year. And look, bear down, baby. Look, and all you people who've been talking about my Bears all these years and joning and sending me all these different memes and gifts and talking about how we're not relevant, we here now. I told y'all it was a matter of time, but we are back. And we are here to stay. So stay tuned, man. Don't look. You better get on the bandwagon now. And I remember who y'all are. So, but again, you are listening to the No Sports Talk Show right here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Audio Boom. And also YouTube. Again, whatever medium that you're listening to the show on, or if you're watching on YouTube, please make sure you hit that subscribe button below so that you can be notified whenever I go live, post a new episode, or anything for that matter. And again, you'll be notified. And also, make sure you follow my podcast page on Instagram. It's at the Lace Up Sports Talk page. Not page after, but it's at Lace Up Sports Talk on Instagram. You will see the same logo that you see on the YouTube here and on my other mediums that you're watching on or listening on, I should say. So again, make sure y'all subscribe, follow that page, and I appreciate y'all support. Let's wrap up the show here. Last topic I wanted to cover, keeping it on the football side of things. Want to shift gears and talk about the college football, because there was some you know, noise that was coming out of the Big Ten media days from these Big Ten coaches throwing shots at the SEC. They say that their conference is the best in football. So let's unpack, you know, what was talked about, what was said. And you know, I'll give you all my opinion on this. So, again, this is 7 months since Indiana won a national championship. Obviously, Kurt Cignetti, you know, led those guys. He took a bunch of guys, you know, from James Madison, put them together. They, you know, they were able to make a run. You know, obviously they weren't all from just JMU, but there was a, you know, a mixture of guys that he got in the portal, or whatever, and they, you know, and ended up going 16-0, undefeated season. Kirsten Yeti, he said the Big Ten is the best in football. He says, we don't run a hype machine up here in the Midwest. We believe everything's earned, not given. And when we fall short, we say we fall short. We don't cry a river, whine, and complain. And that's why we're the best. So, and let me, before I make a comment about that, he also said that it's hard to win on the road in the Big Ten. He says it's very physical football teams, very well coached, and it prepares you for the playoff. And he says the numbers speak for themselves. They also mentioned, obviously, the 11 wins by seven different teams in a 12-team college football playoff era over the past 2 years, and which is more than double the next best league, so on and so forth. And then there was a head coach from Illinois, Brett Bielema. He says that the SEC wants to live in 2005 forever. All right, so first and foremost, let's talk about Brett Bielema, and then I'll get back to you, Kirsten Yeti. First and foremost, you know, they want to live in 2005 forever is a crazy statement because, number one, Texas actually won a national championship in 2005. So, and they were a Big 12 team. So, Brett, get your facts straight before you open your mouth talking about that. Totally wrong, Darren. That's number one. Secondly, we're talking about a guy who went 11-29 in the SEC in five seasons as the head coach at Arkansas. What are you talking about? That's a 37% winning percentage. It's best you stay quiet in this situation. You couldn't win in the SEC. So why are you opening your mouth about the SEC now that you're in the Big Ten? Move aside. That's all I got to say about that. Nothing more to even add to that. The numbers speak for themselves in that situation. Again, 11-29 in five seasons as Arkansas's head coach. 37% win percentage. There's nothing more to say. Kirsten Yeti. Now, again, I respect, you know, obviously Kirsten Yeti. He's a guy that came under the Saban tree. And obviously he wants to I mean, he speaks highly of himself, his team. He wants to, you know, he put Indiana on notice, yada, yada, yada. Let's not forget, the SEC made you. Alabama made you who you are. Saban built you. You are built by Bama. So you can go over to the Big Ten and talk crazy if you want to. You're built by Alabama. You took a bunch of 25-year-olds, put them together, and won a national championship. Again, you a bunch of 25-year-olds playing against 18, 19-year-old kids. If you're proud of that, if you want to go about that, so be it, whatever. If that's what it took, congrats to you. Again, you want to be saving so bad, but the question is, can you sustain that? Again, I'm not taking away what you did, you know, last year or whatever. Y'all talk the talk and walk the walk, whatever. Can you sustain that? That is the big question. Michigan came out, you know, talking noise when they won their national championship. They didn't return back. What are you going to do this year now that you've lost all of your 25-year-old players to the NFL? And again, let's talk about the national championships. Three natties in a row for the Big Ten is great. Cool. Again, I'll give y'all that. You had three national championships in a row. You had Michigan, you had Ohio State, and now Indiana. Cool. But we're not about to measure what the Big Ten conference has to go through in conference play to what the SEC goes through in conference play. It's just not there's it does not compare. I mean, you three national championships in a row. Cool. The SEC won 13 national championships in the last 20 years, and they were all from five different teams. Y'all are always going to be playing catch up. No matter what you say, you're always going to be playing catch up to the SEC. So stop this notion that it's equally tough in the Big Ten, because it's not. I mean, you're talking about there's top to bottom. There's these different teams. They prepare you for the playoffs. Of course, they prepare you for the playoffs when you're playing against Purdue, Minnesota, Rutgers, Northwestern. How wouldn't that prepare you for the playoffs? That's only preparing you from the standpoint that you're just going to have fresh legs, because you're not playing. who are you actually playing on a schedule that's preparing you for a playoff? I mean, again, you're prepared because of the amount of rest that you get because of the ease of the strength of your schedule. I mean, we're not about to sit up here and play this game. I mean, looking at Indiana's schedule this year, I mean, you got your first six games: North Texas, Howard, Western Kentucky, Northwestern, Rutgers, Nebraska. What are we even talking about? Your first six games of the season are absolutely pitiful. And then you play Ohio State. Then you play Michigan. You got Minnesota, USC, Wisconsin, and Purdue. Again, this schedule's a joke. The two toughest games in your schedule, Ohio State and Michigan. After that, Minnesota, USC, they've never had a defense or whatever. Washington, they play at Washington. That could be something to watch there, potentially. But again, let's stop acting like this compares to a team in the SEC who has to play an Ole Miss, play a Georgia, play an Alabama, play a Texas A&M, go on the road against a Florida, play against if I didn't mention Tennessee on the road. I mean, what are we even talking about? This conversation is ridiculous that we even having it. Again, the Big Ten, y'all can ride high and mighty because, again, you guys are the conference right now to beat. I will give you that. The Big Ten is the conference to beat. But make no mistake about this. The SEC has always been the standard and always will be the standard. But SEC is running through each other literally every game in conference play. So I don't know how you could compare that to a Big Ten schedule, because you couldn't put a Big Ten team into an SEC schedule and them come out unscathed. You just couldn't do it. You give Ohio State a nine-game SEC schedule. You give Indiana or Michigan or any of those guys an SEC schedule, they're not coming out of that at all. So call it what you want. It's just facts. Again, I'll say it. The Big Ten is the conference to beat. Does that mean they're the best conference top to bottom? Absolutely not. So stop talking crazy. We got to, enough is enough. Okay. That's it. So, I am going to be the person to stop that argument right now. I mean, again, obviously I'm not the person that's going to stop it. Somebody out there is going to continue to say something crazy about it, but I'll be glad to go toe to toe with anybody when it comes to that. So again, by the time your teams get to the playoffs, they hadn't even sweated. And the one challenge that they make, the one or two games that they play a year, they get looked at as, oh my God, because they're undefeated. They only have one loss. And then you go look at their strength of schedule. It's nowhere near a two-loss or a three-loss SEC team. Come on, man. It's not about crying. It's about stating facts. So when nobody's crying, but when y'all say stupid things and crazy statements and takes, we got to remind you all again, 13 out of the last, natties in the last 20 years were won by the SEC, and y'all can have three and think that, you think you're the top dogs. No. And I hope the SEC is coming back to say something this year, Alabama specifically. So, y'all boys get ready. But that's all I had for today's episode, man. I appreciate everybody, again, rocking with me, sticking with me, man, while we talk some sports. Again, exciting time for football fans everywhere. Couldn't be more excited as we move on each week. I hope everybody has a great weekend. Tune in next week, man, where we continue our conversations on NFL, on college football, and whatever else happens over the course of the next week, man. Be blessed. I'll see y'all on next week, man. I'm out. Roll Tide and bear down.